processing and talking about ants. And I'm not sure if we're going to have a second part of ants or not, but I definitely want you to get a hold of this one today. And God's got you. Speaking about seeing clearly now, an old Wild West fort was about to be attacked. The Wild Old General sent for his trusty Sioux scout. You must use all your 30 years of skill in trying to estimate the sort of army that we're up against here. The scout laid down and put his ear to the ground. Large war party, he said. Maybe 300 or 400 braves, 4 chiefs, 2 of black stallions, 2 of white stallions. All have war paint, many, many guns, medicine men also with them. Good grief, Lieutenant General. You can tell all that just by listening to the ground. He said, no reply to you, did. I can see under the gate.
Like it?
That was funny. But I busted my gut then and now, too. That's kind of sad, isn't it? God's got this. We're going back to the Eagle. And we're going to finish this day. And maybe next week we may do something about the rest of another thing about ants. I'm not sure. We'll find out. But last week, like I said, was a very breakthrough sermon. And a lot of lives were touched, not only here, but outside of these walls on Facebook. So now, get your Bible out. Turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Verse 29. So much lately, wherever I go, people just say they want the pain to stop, or they want the crazy to stop, or there was just something giving them a spark of hope because they're exhausted. I hear it all the time. I hear more often than would like to hear it. I would think that there'd be a whole lot more good stuff going on in this world today. But with all the stuff going on, I was in Walmart and I was trying to buy something at Walmart, and people walking down the aisles, and literally, I'm not kidding, they were saying, "But this was $1 less last week. This was $1.50 less last week." I'm not talking about something charged by the pound. I'm talking about an item. And one lady said, "I can't keep up with this." She said, "I got a raise, and my raise won't even keep up with this." She said, "This is ridiculous. When items start going up, regular household items going up $1 and $2 a week, it's crazy." And what it does is it makes people irritated and gets ill because of the stuff that's going on. Then we have to hear people get and tell us that it's not what we're seeing. We don't trust your eyes, trust us. No, I don't trust my eyes and my bank account. I'm not going to trust somebody telling me that it's not as bad as I think it is. And as a counselor, I get a chance to hear it all the time. Not just that, but all the crazy things that's going on in our world right now. People are not only are they scared, they're frightened, but they're confused of what's going on. And that's why I believe God got me to pull or to get the scripture and preach from the scripture, because everything has gone absolutely, absolutely crazy. Amen. So what do you do when things have gone crazy? What do you do when things are totally not only just out of hand and out of your control, but it's out of control, period? Here's a good scripture that I lean on and I trust God when he's going through these things. So get your Bible, stand up. Isaiah 40, verse 29. Got your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
You don't say, "Oh, me." Verse 29, Isaiah 40. "He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. and they shall walk and not faint. Stretch forth your hands this way, Father. We love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and you are on the throne. There's absolutely nothing, and I do mean nothing, that's going on now that although confuses us and although brings helplessness and hopelessness feelings to people around here, I thank you, God, that you still got all this. And I thank you, God, that you still are using this. And I thank you for all that you do, all that you say, and knowing that we're not by ourselves, but we've always got you by our side. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen, 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 amen. God is so, so awesome. You can be sitting on the way down, tell somebody, the past is behind us.
That's
the future's ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Amen, amen, amen. God is so, so awesome. So, we're going to go through a lot of the slides from 2 weeks ago for the benefit of those that were not here, and also for the benefit of those that were, because we went through so fast, I'm not sure if we all got all the benefit. It's not all the slides, but it's some, and if you go right toward the end. And I put in a lot of GIFs and videos in on this because I don't know about you, but one of my favorite animals in the entire world is the eagle. The eagle is awesome. I mean, they're the most powerful creature, pound for pound, in the world. They're awesome. So getting your second breath. All right. So here it is. And again, God used many examples from nature to describe the nature of people and the nature of countries. Okay, he uses the lion and the bear and the leopard. And in the book of Revelation, we see the lion and the bear. In the Old Testament, we see the leopard. But these are all going to be used now, used back then, and are being used now to tell us or show us these countries that are coming against everybody, coming against the world for Satan, of course, they use the serpent. And then for Jesus, of course, there's two very powerful ones. The one is the lamb. This is redemptive nature. And two is the lion. That's his reigning nature. And then the eagle. There's a really a ringing. I'll talk to hear it out there, but that's a bad ring up here. If you can kind of scuff that a little bit. The eagle it represents Israel, but it also represents the church, but it also represents us. God didn't use a turkey to represent us, although sometimes it'd be a better bird to use to represent us. Or he doesn't use a chicken, but instead he uses an eagle. An eagle, they're just awesome. I mean, they're just absolutely phenomenal. Watch the eagles. I can do it all day long. There's places that just found eagle's nests, and they've just put a camera up there and put it on a website and charge people to watch it. And they're getting rich off people watching an eagle that they don't even own. Because people love what's going on with the eagle. I think, there you go. There we go. I think we got some ring out there. There we go. Okay. I didn't see you up there, Frank. I'm sorry. An eagle, just a few things. Not all that we had last time, just a few things. An eagle will always build its nest in the heights of the mountain. It'll always be on its nest up on the rock out by the catfish pond in the hydra stretch. They're always up in the top of the trees. You can see them up there. Every now and then you may see one on the ground, and they're going up, and they fly right up into the top of the tree because they want their nest built high above everybody else. An eagle will claim a rock, and once they claim a rock, their rock never changes. And when they die facing toward his rock. An eagle mates for life. Not only does eagle mate for life, but eagle parents, they do everything together. It's just an awesome, awesome thing. They do not, and the biggest thing about an eagle that I love is they don't fear the storm, but they welcome it. You can always tell when it's a really, really fast storm coming up because all the other birds are not around, but the eagle's flying high up in the air, and they fly above the storm. All the others fly through the storm. They soar above the storm. They even get picked up by the winds from the storm, and they're soaring, and they have a shield that goes over their eyes, so they can even keep looking. It's like wearing goggles, but they can still see while all this stuff is going on. So, again, let's just go a little bit further in here. There's times of stress that literally overcome the mighty eagle. The eagle lives about 70 years. And sometime between 30 and 40, I like what Don said, the mid-age crisis. Sometime between 30 and 40, the eagle suffers a great loss. The ability of his youth, they just start going away. It can't do what it always did, and so it begins a very painful process of renewal. And it's about a five-month deal, or five-month ordeal, but afterwards, the eagle, they literally find restoration. So, again, there's a servant power. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Y'all say wait.
Wait.
Okay. That word wait does not mean just sit there and cross your arms and do nothing, pat your foot. That is not what wait means. That word wait, literally, is not a cessation of activity, but it means to realign your activity. In other words, one of the great coaches, I can't remember his name right now, Lou, but he said it's not the weight that gets you, it's not the load that gets you, it's how you carry your load. Amen? A lot of us don't realize that we could carry a whole lot more if we would adjust the weight, if we carried it in a different way. And we get killed or weighed down under the smallest of loads because we haven't learned how to carry that load. I remember as a teenager, when I started working at Lee's TV in Western Auto, and we started delivering washing machines and refrigerators and freezers, and it was only like the second or third time they were telling me, I got the truck, and you can get that refrigerator, and you bring it in. And to start with, when they said that, I said, you realize I'm 17 years old, and I weigh 150 pounds soaking wet with a 20-pound bag of taters attached to me. And they said, it's not the weight of the refrigerator, it's how you tow it on the car. And so once that started, many, many, many times I've delivered refrigerators and freezers, washing machines, dryers, stoves, and I did it all by myself, no matter how much it weighed, because I learned the value of placing the weight in the proper way. And it's awesome to think about that. So, also that word weight means to bind or to twist. So it means not only to realign your activity, but to combine your strength with the outside force. So, those that wait on the Lord. Matthew 11. Again, one of my favorite scriptures. I use it all the time with so many people. Those that labor. Those that are exhausted physically. How many here have times in your life when you're just totally, you get off work and you get home and you are totally exhausted from the day? How many sometimes you get up in the morning and you're totally exhausted from the day before? Wow. In this day and time we live in, it is even worse. You know, I go to B5 and don't think those guys at B5 are just sitting there, you know, sucking up all the benefits of being in B5, because some of them get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, some get up at 1 o'clock, some get up at 3 o'clock, and they pull an 8-hour shift. They go and they work the laundry, or they work the garbage detail, or they work food. And they deliver it all over the prison. They're counted as trustees. And I was in there the other day, and they hollered, paycheck time. And so I was waiting, and they said, wow, I thought they were going to give me a raise. This is the same thing I made last week, and the week before. I said, well, how much did you make last week? He said $7. Of course, it's better than nothing. They're getting $7 a day or a dollar a day to do what they do. But then I see them, I'm talking to them, and they're totally exhausted. Some of them, I had one guy who would fall out of a chair. And the funniest of all is one guy was leaning back on his chair, and I'm still having problems with vertigo in glasses. And I walked by him without even knowing it. I hit his chair, and he was back on two legs. And so that guy that was asleep had a very rude awakening because he wound up on the floor. He thought that the chaplain would come in and tilted him over on purpose. I said, I didn't do that on purpose. Number one, you should have had it on all fours. But number two, I did not do that on purpose. Okay. So, physically, they're exhausted. But heavy laden, this is the biggie. They are exhausted mentally and emotionally. People, this day and time, the big bad word for this day is stressed out, even stretched out, because people are trying to take what used to would handle all of its needs and have some left over to save whatever, now they don't have enough. And so they're having to go into their savings, and they're having to go into their retirement, and they're having to stretch out their credit cards to do what used to you could do off a paycheck. And things just keep going. Like I said, I honestly compared prices. I was at Walmart just to get a bottle of Febreze, and the bottle of Febreze at Walmart was $5.40. Just a few months ago, it was $2. $5.40. Some of them were $10 general, and they were $4. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And the lady, because the lady kept saying, people were saying, this stuff is so much higher than it was last week, and so much higher than it was the week before. And people just, and they were stressing. You could hear them stressing as they were hearing this stuff. Some were talking on the phone, they were going, you can't believe what I'm seeing here. And I just said, Lord, bless them and bless them. We're all in the same boat. Every last one of us, we're all in this boat together. So, let me just stress out. But that word yoke is a device to divine strength. We won't go on that right now, but synergy, that's that yoke that goes on the ox or goes on the horses. And so that's there to help us gain strength by hooking up with the person beside us. And Jesus says, let me hook up. You hook up with me and watch what we can do. So I'm always saying, God, I say it all the time, God, this has got to be me and you, and it's got to be mostly you. When I go up to a funeral, I'm coming up because I don't trust my emotions. And sometimes it's just a very hard funeral because they're not the only ones crying. I've been crying, I'm thinking about it, I'm trying to hold it together. Or maybe whatever happened to the person was very severe and unexpected. And so I'm way up to the pulpit, and I'm saying, okay, God, it's got to be me and you, and it's got to be mostly you. I'm going to get called in to go talk to somebody, wherever it may have been. Again, it was a hospital, somebody's home. Wherever, I say it all the time, God, it's got to be me and you. I've got to be yoked, but it's got to be mainly you. You got to be leading this yoke. I need you, God, and God's not letting me down yet. So, we got to realize, here's the eagle. This is what the eagle's getting ready to do. Eagle is literally plucking out its feathers. The eagle's about 35 years old, maybe 40. Is having problems. We're going to talk about that in a minute. In fact, I'll talk about it right now. They're in the vine. Where they used to soar. Remember, they can go 150 miles an hour. They can see another eagle for as far as 50 miles away. They can hunt food and see with precision a fish from 3 miles away. And they can catch that fish while it's still up in the top swimming and pick it out of that water. But now, it can no longer soar. The feathers have overgrown. Its ability is fading. Now they can't see anymore. Their eyesight's dim. Their beaks and their talons are overgrown. They've been in battles. They've been fighting. Their beaks are tough. They have been chipped up. Their fingers, their talons have been chipped up. They've got calcium built up on them. It can't even defend itself anymore. And satisfied. It's never satisfied now because its ability to do what it always could do is no longer there. So, it goes back to its rock. And it goes through its five-loop process. Here's what happens when it's on this rock. It's a time of seclusion. First, there's a productive pain. In this productive pain, it pulls its feathers out. It beats its beak against the rock. And it cries and waits. Wow. For protection, the other eagles fly above it, and they drive predators away. For provision, the other eagles fly above, and they drop down food that this eagle can eat. So for 5 months, this eagle is totally defenseless. It can't even fly. It's also pulled out its talons. So no talons, no beak, no feathers. It sits there and cries, and the other eagles take care of it. They watch over it and feed them. That's a very, I even hate to think about having to do that. It's just got to be one of the most terrible things, but they know that they have to do this. You see, it's during this time that the mighty becomes dependent. The eagle waits for the wings to grow back, and when And while it's waiting for his wings to grow back, it loses its self-dependence. It learns to lean on God as the source, other birds dropping food, and it has a sacrifice of praise. So now, I love it. I love it. I see that when I go by the fish pond. It's a very powerful, powerful thing. So the progress, the feathers and the beak begin to grow back, and there's an oil sac on his chest. When it gets his beak back, it pierces that oil sac, and it spreads oil all over its feathers. The sight is restored, and the agility returns. So here we go. Here we go. Get ready. I know I didn't went through it a lot, but it's just, I just really felt the need to really dig deep a second time into that one. Now, there's times for us that we don't see things as clearly as we used to. Matter of fact, you can always tell when somebody's starting to get this way because the person that was never grumpy is grumpy. The person that was easy to get along with is no longer easy to get along with. There's all kinds of things that's happening to this person as they find things changing and as they're losing ability in their life. So, what happens is, God, this is given by ourselves. We lose self-dependence. We have to wait on God. We learn to lean on God as our strength during these times because we can no longer do it. And if God don't protect us, we don't get protected. We learn to lean on God as our source. And if God don't provide, we don't get anything. We learn to get by ourselves. And we might not necessarily pluck out our wings and beat our beak off and pull out our talons. But we realize that we've lost our ability. And so we get by ourselves. Throw everything away. Say, God, make me new. God, touch me. Because I've lost my tenderness, I've lost my tender heart, I've lost my ability to communicate. God, touch me. And when you get by yourself in seclusion, and you say, I'm not moving God until you touch me, amazing things happen. So, when you do that, here's what happens. Again, progress. Our life starts growing back in order. The Holy Ghost brings fresh anointing. Our discernment is restored, and our agility returns. Now, I love this. Show you some eagle stuff. Y'all get ready for some eagle stuff. Look, he's a bad dude, I'm telling you. They're just a bad, bad dude. There's a soaring power. It says this, your mind with wings like eagles, mounting up. You've heard me say this so many times, and I'm going to tell it again, but I want to show you something. Different kind of birds have different methods of flying. This morning, Stephen was not going to be here because he's not feeling well. Frankie's not feeling well. Instead, he's sitting outside the window, and he's watching a bunch of hummingbirds flying over the hummingbird feeder. He said about 30 or 40 hummingbirds trying to use that one little feeder. And I forget how many times a second a hummingbird's wings flap. I think it's 800 times a second. 120 times a second. Hummingbird's feathers, man, wings, they're just going at it. Some birds, they flap. And because they flap, there's no rest. Their wings are in constant motion to counteract gravity. Then there's those that glide, that's partial rest. They go up high, and they start heading back down to earth. And that's some of the bigger birds. You'll see them as they go back down. You see the seagulls doing this. As they go up, then they flap their way up, and they ride the waves, or ride the air waves, and then they come back down, and they rest on the water. That's partial rest. But then there's the mighty eagle. The mighty eagle. Matter of fact, eagle and hawks are the only ones that do this. They soar. They get up under the wind current. And when they get up under, they can sense the wind current. And when they get up under this wind current, they search for that wind current, and they get up underneath it. And they let the wind current carry it. And it can travel for mile after mile after mile after mile and never get tired because it's being carried by the wind. So, again, and I know I tell you this all the time, I'll do it again. An eagle, the only bird that does this, when it's getting ready to fly, it gets up on its rock. And it spreads its feathers. It's weights. It's not flat. It's not gliding. It's weighty. They wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Part of that weight was pulling his legs out, all that stuff. That's a one-time deal that gives him new life. But everyday waiting is that he just gets up and just stands and holds his wings out. Somebody sees him, I think he's trying to drop his feathers up. No, he's not trying to drop his feathers out. It's waiting on the wind. We should be waiting on God before we make crazy decisions and before we do things. Say, man, why did I do that? Man, what made me do that? Man, I got so impatient on God that I jumped the gun. I won't do it again, God. I'm going to do it again. But the eagle just waits. Can you imagine what happened in our lives if we needed something from God? We could spread our wings and just wait. And what happens is when that wind current starts coming, it starts going into the eagle's face, the eagle realizes that that wind current is there, what they need to carry them. And as soon as they feel the wind current in their face, they just lean forward. And once they lean forward, the wind current takes them and lifts them up off their rock. And then they just go ahead and soar. Every now and then they flap their wings, but it's very seldom because they're sore. They got up on the rock and they waited on the wind. Waited on the wind. And once the wind came, they're sore. They're not stressing. They're not flapping those wings. They don't find no rest and partial rest. They find rest because they're just up there. It's amazing. And there's a lot of Christians we see. It's wore out all the time. Because they're chasing fads, or they're chasing things, or they're expecting, God, why aren't you doing for me what you're doing for them? And know that God's got time, and not only God's got time, but God's got a purpose for each person. And he might not do the same for one that he does the other because of the purpose of God. And so instead of being a period of waiting on God, we take off. And we're flapping, and we're trying to get it done, and we're wore out, and can't figure out why we're so wore out. Instead of, God, show me. Lead me. Guide me. Wow. And then when you feel the Holy Spirit start to rise up, then you just lean forward and the Holy Spirit will take you. And it's amazing what will happen. Look at this. I love it. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? Do you see him flapping? You know, he's probably already covered about 2 or 3, 4 miles right there. It's amazing. Now, why do you want to spend your life flapping? When you can spend your life doing that. I love it. Absolutely awesome. So now, we likewise. They shall mount with wings like eagles. It just shows that mounting up, they gather strength, and there's a fresh wind. Get ready, close. I said, get ready. They shall run and not be weary. That word run means to rush. It's a defensive position. The footman, the soldier was chosen to run ahead of the king's chariots to protect him. The foot soldier, the infantry, run. They would say, double step, double step, double step. You see the infantry now. I've never been to the infantry, but I've watched videos about the infantry. And they would say, double step, double step. Or they would say, let's go. And then they would say, rush. And so they've got their signals, but their speech definitely says, you're going to do this, and you're not going to listen. You're going to run, and you're not going to be weary. You're not going to be so wore out, so dissatisfied with life, that you don't want to do it anymore. Not weary, not winded, not exhausted. Again, here I've got to do it again. I love it. Come on, buddy.
That they can never see coming. The bold headed. Thank you.
I can never get enough watching those things. It's amazing. And they're staying power. See, they shall walk and not faint. The word walk means to, a walk means in an offensive position, to march, to pursue, cause to run, or to carry away. And faint means to be exhausted, fatigued, winded, out of breath. Let's see, I think I know if you're coming. Here we go. Wow. Some Eagles never make it past 40. They get destroyed before trying. They give up in the process. Either they're trying to find God, trying to get back with God, and either they're destroying the process or trying to get back, and they're not giving up before they ever get through. And I have seen over the years I remember when I first came into Church of God, there was this one man. He was a Sunday school superintendent. He was so awesome. He knew me. He met me for the first time. What I'm saying is he knew of me. And he knew me. Knew my kind. I remember coming in that day. I was scared to death. I didn't want to go to church. I just went to shut my cousin up. Went to church. And he acted like he'd known me all my life. He grabbed me. He hugged me. He could smell cigarettes. He could smell the alcohol still on me. He just loved me. And said, "So good to have you here today, bro. Why don't you come get you a good seat?" And over the next couple of months, we developed such a good friendship because I looked at him as like a spiritual giant. And I remember one Sunday, he wasn't there. And then another son, then another son, and then another son. And I found out that he'd been going through some stuff. And as he was reaching out for God, he gave in to the other stuff that was going out there. And I hate it because he died an angry, angry, lost. I can't say he was saved or not. I don't know, but I'm talking about compared to what he was, lost. And I preached funerals for the whole family years later. But still in my mind, to this day, I think about what would have happened if he hadn't given up in the process. Because he had so much to give. He was so awesome. The very first person to welcome me, love me, give me hope, show me how to be. And I've tried to imitate him all my life when I meet people, because he was so loving. I was so scared, he was so loving, and he put me right in these. I bet you every last one of us in here can think of someone who may have helped lead you to the Lord, or been there for you, been strength for you, And along the way, they gave up. Along the way, they quit serving God. Along the way, I had a overseer who helped me a lot. I heard that he had gone astray. And so I went on a search because I couldn't find him. And it took about 6 months for me to find him. We didn't have all the stuff we got down. We couldn't find him without a pit back then. He didn't want to be found. And I called him up. And now he's working construction. No longer an overseer. He's working construction. He's left his family. He's living with some woman. And I call him. And this loving man always was pushing forward. Let's get something done for God. Let's watch God do something. I called him up and I said, hey, brother. And I just say, his name was not Smith. I'm just going to say Smith for the sake of the conversation. I said, hey, Brother Smith. And he said, who's this? I said, it's Brother David. He goes, oh, hey, David. And I said, I'm going to call you and see how you're doing. I'm doing fine. And I said, well, I just wanted to let you know I love you. He said, stop. Right now, just stop. I said, I just want to tell you I love you, bro. He said, if you love me, then you'll hang up. I said, I just try. He said, don't try anything. He said, just leave me alone. And I said, yes, sir. And I said, I love you. And he clicked. I even thanked him for all the help he gave me and getting my license and all that stuff. He just clicked. Every last one of us can think about people along the way. Then their spiritual eyes grew dim. Their soul power grew dim. They had a terrible time trying to make things happen again because now they're like the eagle. They're crusted over. They're battle scarred. They got a lot of trauma in their life. They've gone through one crisis, one too many. Instead of clinging to God or letting God do the process, they let go. And I ask God all the time. God, I'll tell us, I'm in prayer. I say, God, I'm not better than they are. I'm not better than they are. We're all in the same boat. We all can have the same thing happen. God, I'm not looking down my holy nose at anybody. God, I need you to touch these people. And God, if I can be in line, I will. And then I'll say, Lord, help me if I find myself in this position. Crawl back on the rock. Don't let me lose what you've given me. Do not take that lightly. So we're destroyed. But those who make it, they discover freshness, they discover strength, boldness, freedom, and they soar. I mean soar. Choice is ours. Granny, come here and replace that, brother. I got your witness mix of Simon. I've been trying to do this now on Sunday mornings. After every sermon, give you an assignment so you can put the stuff to work instead of going, that was a good sermon, but what am I talking about? This week's assignment. As you look forward, as you're going through life, as you're going to work, as the challenges keep coming, and they do, they just keep coming. Look for and expect new strength. It's important. It's there. But you got to look for it. And you got to expect it. So So many times we lose out because we expect God to work one way and God's trying to work another. And we're not paying attention to how God's trying to do it. We're simply trying to get him to do it our way. Look for new strength when you walk. I'm going to put a little spin on this. When you walk, that's your normal everyday activity. Walking, that's me getting up in the morning time, getting ready to go out. I go to hospitals, nursing homes, to the detention center, to church, to somebody's house, to visit, to go be, whatever. That's walking. That's your daily routine. Look for and expect new strength in your daily routine. A lot of times, I know y'all are not like me. I'm the only one who's probably ever done this. But when we're walking, we sometimes forget to ask God to help us. Because we think we got it. I'm not the only one. Y'all forgive me. We get our daily routine, doing daily stuff, that we do on autopilot, and we forget to ask God to guide us and to show us. So look for new strength in your normal activity. Run. That's the activity that's beyond. That's when things go crazy. I mean crazy. 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 Somebody calls you, all of a sudden you're having a good night, and somebody calls you in your family, and you find out something's happened, or something's going on, or somebody's had a wreck, or you find out somebody's breaking up or whatever, and all of a sudden that nice, peaceful night changes. Even then, look for and expect new strength. Rest in this new strength. And I dare you this week, quit flapping your wings. Quit flapping your jaws. Quit flapping your wings. And soar. 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 Not S-O-R-E. Soar. S-O-A-R. Soar. Try it this week. Okay, God, show me. Okay, God, help me. I dare you. Just give it a shot. And watch what God will do. God is so, so awesome. Everybody stand. Machete trying to clear our path. We can wait on God, and God can go before us and clear the path, and you not have to waste your time with that machete. Why waste your time and energy flapping? You can trust God. Wait for that fresh, holy anointing when you can soar. I had a dear brother the other day ask me, said, what you do Monday? I said, oh, you know, usual. He said, well, mine took a day off. I said, that's good. He said, what you do? I said, well, let's see. Went to the hospital, went to Boca County Detention Center, went to Pitt County Detention Center, came home and had a nice dinner with my wife, and then I rode with the deputies, Boca County. And he said, dude, he said, you gonna kill yourself? I said, what? I said, I didn't do anything but what I didn't want to do. And number two is, I didn't flap my wings the whole time. Thank you. story. Some of y'all need to get on by yourself. Some people think you're crazy. Get all by yourself. Here's another challenge. Get all by yourself and pray. When you pray, won't you open them? And say, God, teach me, Lord. Help me lay down those cares and those worries. Help me soar. Those cares and worries are weighing me down and having to flap. Help me soar, God. Help me soar. Help me soar. Help me soar. I'll put your arms out. What about it? Y'all go ahead. Now y'all going to say, no, man, y'all don't look crazy. Put your arms out. All of us looking crazy. Lord, now say this with me. Lord, teach me to soar. I'm tired of flapping. Teach me to soar. Father, let your spirit, your breath, breathe on me. Teach me, help me this week to soar and notice the difference. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. We said Lord's Prayer, and now I want Brother Doug to dismiss us in prayer. This week, with my kid, that will remind you. Lord, help me. Help me. That's such a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. I'm going to apostle track one day. And something I'd never seen before was an eagle on the ground. An eagle on the ground in some kind of water in a field. And when I rode by, I must have startled him. And when I rode by, he went up to his tree. And he didn't know much about it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. He jumped out of that field, and I think he flapped once. And I watched him, as God's my witness. He soared straight up. As I watched, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. He soared straight up. And when he got to the top of the tree, he held his wings up, and I just stepped down. And I said, God, let me get up. Let me soar. Let me soar. Let me soar. It's our Lord's Prayer and Brother Doug. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to join together to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, as we heard these words, I pray that we would hide it in our hearts. Everywhere we go, that we would not just be flapping our wings, but Lord, that we would wait on you, that you would guide and direct us in all that we do, that you would clear our path. Lord, be with us as we leave here today. Help us to spread your light and be the salt of the earth, and that you would keep us safe. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Amen.